you are listening to Food for Thought here on Siren 107.3 FM with me, Charlotte Reed. This week's show is a little bit different as it is a Christmas special. Over the past few weeks, I found out about the local food available this Christmas and hopefully will give you some ideas in the run-up to the big day as well. On this week's show, I chat to Lincolnshire chef Rachel Green about how to prepare for Christmas dinner and what to do with the leftovers, and tips from a local cake professional about how to make a Christmas cake.
This is Siren FM.
To start off this week's programme, though, is the Christmas market. Every year, Lincoln hosts this market in the castle grounds, and this year, when I went up, I focused on the different types of food and drink available in amongst all the other stalls. So here is a selection of the food and the mulled wine that I found up there.
My name is Werner Leupert, and I came from Neustadt on the Wine Street, which is a twinning town of Lincoln. We came for the twinning because this is part that people from our town and your town come together, and we see us every year, and this is I think this is important for a twinning, that there is life in it.
And so what have you particularly come to give to the people of Lincoln?
Well, we brought our regional products, which is first of all the wine.
And so what's the difference between English wine and German wine?
This summer we've been to Cornwall, and we've been to a wine growing firm there, and well, the wine, the English wine, is very dry in the end, so ours is better, I think.
And what other parts are important to a German Christmas?
A German Christmas? Well, it's, of course, there's the religious background in the end, but nowadays there is more, well, we have Christmas market for 4 weeks in Neustadt, for example. This is very different to here, where we only 4 days.
I'm Charles Raywood, and I've got the miniature pancake stall.
And why do you find it's important to come to the Christmas market?
It's an old market, and it's good to keep the tradition going, I suppose.
And do you like selling something that's maybe slightly different to what people would expect at the market?
Well, yeah, it's, helps the amount of stuff you're selling, I suppose, if you're unique.
My name is David Bellamy. I'm vice chair of Lincoln Minster Round Table. We sell mulled wine and spicy hot cider and mince pies, sausage rolls, etc. And we've been doing so for probably about 30 years, so it's part of Lincoln tradition.
And so why is the Lincoln Christmas market quite important to you?
In terms of fundraising, this is our biggest fundraiser by an absolute mile. We raise money for local charity, and I would say 90% of the money we raise is in 3 or 4 days here.
And mulled wine seems to be quite an important part of the Christmas market. How do you make it?
It's made locally from Steephill Wines, and they also supply the spice cider, which is new this year and is proving very popular. It's got a little bit of Cointreau in it. It's very, very nice.
And obviously, you're dressed up for the occasion.
As a monk, that's right, yeah.
Has that been particularly fun?
It has been a lot of fun, yes. Although our throats, by Sunday morning, our throats have almost died.
A lot of the food at the Christmas market is things that you can eat whilst you're walking around. It's not really useful as gifts or to keep. However, a few weeks ago, Siren FM's Sam Padu and I went to the Christmas food and gift fair at the Epic Centre. While we were there, we tried to find all the Christmas food essentials, such as the bird, wine and cheese, made by people who are based either in Lincoln or in Lincolnshire. This is how we got on.
Richard Botterill. I come from W.E. Botterill & Son, and we do geese and turkeys for Christmas.
And so why are you here at the Epic Centre today?
We're here selling our geese and turkeys and also taking orders for Christmas for the free-range birds that we produce.
And so what birds are generally the most popular for Christmas?
The most popular is the turkey. Everyone traditionally thinks of turkey at Christmas, but we're finding a resurgence in goose, which used to be the traditional meat for Christmas.
We found, talking to some butchers in Lincoln, that people are ordering their turkeys like 6 months in advance. Have you had people like that at all come to you, you know, really well in advance in preparation for Christmas?
We get some people that will order a Christmas ahead, in effect, so that they'll come back to us after Christmas in January and say, oh, your turkey was lovely, or your goose is lovely, can we order another one for next year? our biggest trouble is to remember that's what they've done and mark it down in the book that it's an order.
So it's not a fact of money, it's a fact that they've really enjoyed your product and, you know, they think, well, why we remember, we're going to order it now.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, our product is a little bit more expensive. It's done in a traditional form. Everything that we do is free range. All the birds are dry plucked and all the processing is done on farm. But people are finding now, I think, that they're not too worried about... They're worried about expense, but they also worry about quality as well. And so they're also looking for good value.
Lincolnshire poacher, mixed slowly. I think the biggest issue as far as the cheese is concerned, and this is local produce made on the farm and, you know, readily available through the farmers' markets locally, and people know exactly what it is they're getting. So, you know, it seems to be a formula that works.
Cheese is such a big aspect of Christmas, along with lots of other foods. You know, why do people go for these nice traditional things at Christmas, do you think?
Well, I think you've summed it up in your question, really. It is traditional to do that. I mean, people have a very fixed idea of their eating habits, and the cheese board is as important as maybe the wine or the other after dinner drinks. So, you know, you're actually catering to people's traditions, and that, you know, that seems to work well at Christmas especially.
My name's Donna Moden and I'm from Moden's Lincolnshire Plumbread, and we're from Spilsby in Lincolnshire.
And so why are you here at the Epic Centre today?
To promote our product. It's a recipe that's been in our family since 1936. My husband's grandfather developed the recipe. So we're here to try and get ourselves out there and get people to come and taste it. And it's just nice to keep up the tradition as well.
And so what's particularly sort of Christmassy about plum bread?
I just think it goes very well with cheese. Everybody tends to eat cheese at Christmas and it goes very nice on a cheese board. We did enter it into the Lincolnshire Poacher competition this year and we won a gold for it. And also Stollen, we brought that out for the first time this year and we entered the bread into the same competition and won a gold with that as well. So really pleased with it, yes.
I'm Ron and our company is Maron Wine, Cider and Liqueurs, and it does exactly what it says. We make wine, ciders and liqueurs, and we do that in Lincolnshire and in Harrogate in Yorkshire.
And so what are you doing here today at the Epic Centre?
Well, hoping to introduce people to our new product, which is chocolate wine. We have a red, a white and a rosé version, alongside our ciders and our 27 different liqueurs.
And so how do you make chocolate wine?
Well, it isn't easy. It took us 6 months to come up with the recipe, but effectively it's a blend of wine with extracts from the cocoa bean, which are intensely flavoured with chocolate, but also extremely bitter. So we do have to sweeten it to a certain extent to get the balance right. I think we have after 6 months, but you'll have to try it to see for yourself.
And is this something that you think will go down particularly well for Christmas?
I think it's the ideal Christmas drink. The rosé chilled is a really lovely aperitif. The white chocolate wine very much has a problem with the Christmas pudding, as it's a sweet dessert wine. And the red, it's reminiscent of a light port. You'd have it at the end of the meal, perhaps, in about the same glass as a port glass. So, yes, every stage of the meal there's something there.
That was Sam Perdue and me finding local Christmas food at the Christmas Food and Gift Fair a few weeks ago. One of the most stressful things about cooking at Christmas is the bird. You might be cooking for a lot of people, want to make sure it tastes good and is properly cooked. And on top of all that, cooking like this might not be something that you do all the time. To help out with this tricky part of Christmas Day, I spoke to the chef Rachel Green. And I started off by asking her why people can get so flustered by this one meal.
I think the turkey is very important for Christmas Day because it's sort of the focal point of it. And I think everybody gets some, you know, got to have the right turkey for the event. And it is the centrepiece of the table.
So what kind of tips would you give to people who are thinking about what turkey to have for Christmas dinner?
I think there's a lot of important points, actually, when you're picking a turkey. I think people tend to sort of think they've got to have a huge turkey. But actually, really, you only need it for a couple of days, so Christmas Day and Boxing Day, and maybe the day after. But it's better to buy a better quality, slightly smaller turkey than it is to just go for the big monster, really. I think choosing a proper turkey, and also when you choose a turkey that's been reared properly, when it's actually in its maturity, it also lays down some fat in the turkey, so it sort of automatically becomes sort of like a bit like a self-basting turkey in that sense. But I always cook my turkey breast side down, and then for the last half an hour, turn it the other way up and leave the lid off, the foil off. But apart from that, I sort of seal it. And I never stuff the turkey either. That's another really good point, because if you stuff the turkey, you know, the centre of the cavity to its gunnels, the time you get to the cooking core temperature to be the right temperature in the middle of the cavity, basically you've overcooked the breast. So in the big cavity, you can stuff the neck cavity, that's fine, but in the big cavity, just put perhaps a lemon or an apple and an onion and cook the other stuffing separately. So that's a good tip. And also, if people are actually using frozen turkeys, they must make sure that they defrost them in plenty of time. And they should be done over at least a two-day period in the fridge, not left out on the side.
Well, what kind of preparation should people make so they don't have the sort of big panic that people worry about on Christmas Day for cooking the turkey?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to, you know, you can cook the turkey, that's absolutely fine, but you can let the turkey, you let the turkey rest, basically. So if you let the turkey rest, then got the oven free for lots of other things you want to do. So I nearly rest my turkey for as long as I cook it, so it's quite important. And if you do things like roasted root vegetables, you can cook them beforehand and then reheat them, that sort of thing. Get your veg all prepped up the day before your table set. That, you know, really kind of... But at the end of the day, you know, people panic about Christmas, but it's just a sort of maybe slightly more extravagant roast meal, really, isn't it? Like a roast lunch, really.
Yes, that's the thing I always find quite surprising about Christmas, is you kind of build it up as this big dramatic day, but actually it's what you have on Sundays, but with a little bit more.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think people also sort of aspire to sort of want to have the perfect Christmas, and I don't think there is such a thing as the perfect Christmas. I think we all aspire to, it's all got to be, you know, this wonderful, and it is a wonderful day, but the most wonderful part about it is the fact that you're with your friends and your family, and you've got some nice food on the table, and maybe a nice glass of wine, and you really, it doesn't need to be, I think people try and sort of make it perfect, but when families get together, it isn't always perfect anyway, is it? There's always usually one small argument throughout the day, but that needn't sort of bother it. That's the people getting together who don't spend lots of time together normally. But I just think as long as you just, everybody relaxes and just remembers it for what it is, I think that's the most, instead of trying to aspire to be this absolutely amazingly all-perfect day, I think that's when people get disappointed.
So when should people start actually thinking about the turkey for Christmas?
Depends on you, whether you're having a frozen one or a fresh one. So if you're having a frozen one, you need to make sure you defrost it, as I said before. I mean, I never start bothering with anything till the day before, really. So, but you can make your stuffing, put it in the freezer now if you want, that sort of thing. But really, you're not going to be doing anything with it till Christmas Day, apart from perhaps getting it prepped up and put it in the tin ready.
I met some people who grow turkeys also in Lincolnshire, who were saying that people were ordering their turkeys and their geese about a year in advance, just to sort of make sure that it was a thing sort of ticked off the list for next Christmas.
Gosh, they're very organised then. But I always do try and order mine sort of maybe 6 to 8 weeks before, because if you want one of the really special ones, then they only produce a certain amount, so they will run out. It's not like you're going into the freezer section of a large multiple supermarket and grabbing one out and just thinking, oh, that'll do. If you do want something special, then of course you do have to order it in advance.
And then, of course, with Christmas, there's always leftovers. So what kind of things could people do with leftover turkey?
Can use obviously all the turkey, including the carcass, which you can boil up to make beautiful stock, to make a lovely soup. Anything from turkey and Stilton pie to turkey lasagna to, I think, made a lovely turkey pizza using, you know, our own homemade bread dough and that sort of thing. Also, turkey goes, it's like chicken, you know, it's one of those really good things to, I think, in a sandwich. So a lovely, I've well, I think it's one of my favourite sandwiches. It's a turkey, cranberry and brie melt, which is absolutely gorgeous. Certainly not for the faint-hearted. It's not exactly slimming, but, you know, I think at Christmas time you can allow yourself a treat or two.
That was Rachel Green, the Lincolnshire chef, passing on her tips about what to do with leftover turkey. If you'd like to listen to that interview again to fully reassure yourself before attempting Christmas dinner, then just head to sironline.co.uk and click on Food for Thought to find this week's show online. Now, any big occasion needs to have cake, and Christmas is no different. Christmas cake is traditionally a fruit cake and takes a bit longer to make than a normal sponge cake does. To find out more, I visited professional cake maker Darren Burrows at his No. 82 cake studio, and I started off by asking him for his recommendations for when making Christmas cake.
I would say use the best ingredients you can buy. It's supposed to be a really luxurious cake, and I wouldn't put cheap ingredients in it. Find a recipe that you like that has got ingredients that you prefer. For example, some cakes have nuts, some cakes have citrus peel. You might not like those things. What's important about Christmas cake is that it should be made well in advance of when you want to eat it. I make my wedding cakes 6 months in advance, the fruit ones, which are the same as Christmas cakes. The flavour develops to a much richer taste and they're much better to slice neatly.
And also you were just telling me about how you've made some Christmas cupcakes, and that's slightly more fiddly to just a normal Christmas cake?
Well, they're just a lot smaller and they take a lot of time to cover. I find small cakes are harder to cover than big cakes. Obviously, the good thing about cupcakes is they cooked in about 30 minutes and that cake that's in the oven will probably be about 6 hours. And that's an average 8-inch Christmas cake size. I only cook my cakes at 140 degrees, though, and I check that with an oven thermometer.
So if you're going to make a Christmas cake, you kind of have to be well prepared and patient.
Yes, you are to make to cook it nicely. It's no good buying all those expensive ingredients and then whacking it in a really hot oven and burning the edge and not cooking the middle. So long and slow it needs to be cooked for, and I check it about every 20 minutes with a cocktail stick in the middle, and if it comes out clean I take it out straight away. Another thing is that just as a tip, when I take my Christmas cakes out of the oven, I leave them for half an hour to let the majority of the heat escape, and then I wrap them up and trap whatever steam there is left in there in the cake so that it stays really moist.
And another important part of Christmas cake is the decoration. But you're supposed to do Christmas cakes covering them in marzipan and fondant icing. Why is that sort of important?
I think it's important to keep, because they're supposed to keep for some weeks over Christmas, and they can be made up to 6 weeks in advance, I suppose. The marzipan and the fondant icing, or the royal icing, that your recipe will have, seals it. So effectively, until it's cut open, it's well sealed from the air.
And what about all the sort of nice decorations on the top, sort of like Father Christmas? What kind of things would you like?
You can make your own. All of the ingredients are now easily available in supermarkets. The specialist shops, there's a couple in Lincoln that sell them ready-made. If you want to just buy them and stick them on the top, you can do whatever you like, really. There's no limits to your imagination, I suppose.
And is making the decorations one of your sort of favourite parts of making cakes?
Yes, the smaller fiddly bits are what I prefer, definitely.
And so if people haven't got a Christmas cake by now, in like the 2 weeks before Christmas, is it just best to sort of buy one?
Well, no, you can still make one. I think some people make them, let them go cold, freeze them, and then defrost them as a sort of way that's supposed to make them develop the flavour quickly and mature quicker than it would do if you made it in October.
That was Darren Burrows from the No. 82 Cake Studio passing on tips for Christmas cake making. And finally, we all know what food we think of for Christmas in the UK, but how do other countries celebrate Christmas? Earlier this year, I spoke to Dirk and Alfred, who organised the Lincoln Oktoberfest, and whilst they were here in the Siren Studios, I asked them about what types of German food is around at Christmas time.
My name is Dirk Tayong. I'm the chairman of the Oktoberfest committee here in Lincoln.
And I'm Alfred Schneider, and I'm the treasurer of the Oktoberfest committee.
But we are also both presidents of a Rotary Club here in Lincoln.
If you are in the eastern part, you're likely to have fish. Carp. That in the eastern part of it, carp. Then people eat duck or goose. In fact, there is a season. Germans have certain seasons, and there's a duck and goose eating season, same as there is a herring season and so on. And then many eat a chicken, of course. And off late, more popular are also turkey now. They're coming in as well. Very often only turkey pieces like legs or breast, not necessarily a whole turkey. So the tradition of having a whole turkey, that's not so much there, but smaller pieces of turkey, yes.
And what kind of sort of sweet things and treat things would be around about Christmas?
Marzipan is probably comes to mind. And
very much Christmas food is marzipan, yes.
Yeah.
And then we have the famous Stollen.
I love Stollen.
I know you would. And
yeah, well, Stollen has, you know, gone all around the world now. You can get Stollen.
And with that, we've come to the end of this Christmas edition of Food for Thought. But don't worry, next week is also a Christmas special. To give you a taste of what you can expect, I chatted to the Museum of Lincolnshire Life to find out what would make a Victorian Christmas dinner. And I will also be reviewing the Christmassy food available right here in Lincoln. And there's also tons else planned for next week. If you'd like to find out more about the show, then just head to sirenonline.co.uk and click on Food for Thought. And if you have any pictures of festive food you've made that you'd like the listeners of Siren FM to see, then just tweet us. We are at Siren FM on Twitter. To end this week's show is another excellent Christmas song. This is Wizard with I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.